privilege to introduce you to Dr. John Hanna, Research Professor of Theological Studies, Distinguished Professor of Historical Theology. Dr. Hanna was born and raised in New Jersey and came to Jesus as a lad of just 10 years old. He came to DTS after his college days and earned his THM and PhD, and then did further studies, earned another doctorate after studying at SMU, the University of Dallas, and Yale University. Think of two doctorates. That's quite an undertaking. He began his teaching career at Dallas in 1972, and he's been married to his wife, Carolyn, for 49 years. They have two daughters, Rebecca and Nancy, six grandchildren, three girls and three boys. He's active with Bible Study Fellowship, training their teachers. He teaches in the adult program of their local church. Carolyn, are you here today? There she is. Would you stand? Thank you. She's, as they was prayed, she's been so faithful in leading our swim program for so many years. They are quite the team. Would you join me in welcoming Dr. John Hanna to our platform this morning?
Good morning. Morning. My task is to address our heritage. The title that I have chosen is this: Our Past and Our Tomorrows, Rooted in a Common Experience, Resulting in a Deep Commitment, and Propelled by the Devotion to a Book. Significant consequences emerge from small beginnings, often in the vortex of obscure settings, by unlikely people placed in a particular concatenation of circumstances that only causes a providentialist to find its sources in the timing, causes that transcend cultural and social conditions though shaped invariably by them. That is, to the mighty hand of an altogether divine, majestic being who works all things according to the counsels and purposes of his good pleasure. Social, cultural conditioning being merely the outward, concurrent, secondary circuities of cacophonous circumstantialisms. I invented that. Hey, if you can't smile, you're going to be in trouble. Reasons and causes not being synonymous. All of this while others seek warranted credibility in the almighty power of chance, contingency, and human ingenuity. Secular scholars in many fields have long debated the nature of causation and have produced an impressive array of collaborative evidence to support their insights. Educators have assumed the task of translating their findings in the classroom and through their hearers to the general public. Both originators and communicators of this largely materialistic, rationalistic, and Enlightenment perspective, pervasive until the last century, had seemingly run God as an active causative agent out of the universe. While not denigrating cultural, social, and personal factors in causation, providentialists argue that such factors are only the important, necessary, and celebrated circumstances through which the God of the universe, the giver of our Lord Jesus in the great incarnation, has chosen to bring about his divine will exacted on the stage of time through the centuries. The exact purpose of this very act of the original creation, seemingly devastated, even aborted, by the retrogression, deviation of our pristine parents, a recovery promised in the ancient prophets and announced by the prophets, and inaugurated in the divine redemption of humanity, secured securely and without contingency at Calvary, where defeat was turned into triumph, evidentialized by the resurrection 3 days later. The topic before us is a minute sliver of the divine redemptive grand meta-narrative, a droplet in a sea of God's great plan to create a world where he will dwell in all his glory, surrounded forever by an adoring crowd, giving him recognition and glory without end. Today, I want to look with you at one beginning in history, the founding and perpetuation of one institution, Dallas Theological Seminary. While I confess that the hand of God is not only the invisible cause of our existence, it is the sustaining mercies of the great being that has brought it to this day, the beginning of its 93rd year of existence as a professional, graduate-level religious institution. Without doubt, the cause of our continuation is the benevolence and gracious forbearance of the triune, majestic God of the universe. However, with all that said and duly noted, I want to spend a few moments speaking to the issue of human factors and passions that created and sustained our school for 9 decades. My thesis is this: Dallas Theological Seminary was born in the passionate, shared experience of the people of God that took shape at the beginning of the last century by a small coterie of visionary dreamers whose passion and sacrifice has been communicated for nearly a century by a faculty of women and men to thousands of students who have sat in our chapels, been mentored privately by faculty and fellow students, and have been nurtured in the classroom to go into a world with that same passion and sacrificial spirit. What I am talking about is predicated on a clear assumption, energized by a clear commitment to an unsolid tool that we often hold in our hands and seek to perpetuate: a passion, an assumption, and a book. In reflecting on these three factors, I am restricted by time and more so by my limited knowledge and understanding, but I wish to make a few comments. Passion. The passion animating Dallas Seminary from its inception has been that of an altogether beautiful Savior, whom God sent to address humanity's deepest need. Dallas Seminary is fundamentally and unflinchingly committed to an invisible something that you will see evidenced by our words and actions. It is the belief that there is a world far greater than this one, and enduring than this blighted one, the root of the unseen through the seen, the heartbeat individually and collectively from our president, each and every faculty member, and staff person, is the experience of the wonder of a divine forgiveness in and through Jesus Christ. The vision was and is the redeeming event in Christ, born of the experience of redeeming mercies and its stellar remediation through the atoning sacrifice of God's gift from heaven, the Son of God, the Son of Man. An understanding that grace through mercy has been extended to mankind, a purchase made by one that is so perfect and complete that God's wrath has been assuaged forever, permitting God, within the limitations of his own character, being infinitely just, to justify, to extend to all of mankind a salvation without cause or the demand of human endeavor, a free and forever forgiveness for the simple and unmerited act of recognition and acquiescence to the beauty of a person and the provision of an altogether bountiful and glorious Savior. Passion of Dallas Theological Seminary is born at Calvary. It is born in Christ. That's in every one of us. That's really why we're here. It was born in and out of the redemptive experience of Lewis Berry Chafer, the founder and first president of our institution. Here's the man. Here's the man as a little lad. His dad was then pastor in Smithfield, Pennsylvania, in the throes of a disease that would take him from his family in 1882. But in that pastorate, Lewis Chafer came to know Jesus. And in the preface of this dear man's Bible that I have got to handle is this beautiful statement: God so loved Lewis S. Chafer that he gave his only begotten son. That Lewis Berry Chafer, believing in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Calvary, the atoning death of our Savior, is the root of our passion. We are driven by him. We delight in him. We love for him. That's our passion. That passion resulted in a functional assumption that was and is undergirded by the corporate reality of the individualized experience of the redeeming event in Christ. It is simply that together something can be done that could maximize and radically escalate the best of our efforts if executed only individually. What is that something? It has to do with the vision that we all share, the wonder of forgiveness, the grace expressed in divine redemption, the deep desire to express an appreciative attitude through action, action rooted in the act of God through Christ. What am I talking about? We believe that this message, this Christ, this Calvary, is so compelling and beautiful and delightful that it must be proclaimed and taught and believed on in the world. Our motto is, preach the word. Literally, scatter the seed of the gospel, which is in essence the composite of the claims that Jesus made about himself. This is the assumption that arises out of our individual experience of being encountered by Christ and now institutionalized across a seemingly ever-increasing array of emphases corporately expressed. This is where we all began. if it works. This is Dallas Theological Seminary, October 1924, Hughes Circle, Dallas, the other side of what was then the non-existent US 30. A rented house by a dear lady at First Presbyterian Church became the home of our school for the first 2 years. This is where we encapsulated our passion. This is our first graduating class. I can account for 12. The other, I think, is a renegade from the other side of the Red River. In the center, sitting among the five, is our president, Dr. Louis Berry Chafer. When most men are thinking about retirement, he was born in 1872. This man starts his greatest adventure of faith. 2 years later, that little apartment complex that housed the library, housing, classrooms, was a bit too small. So we moved. We moved here. We moved to what is called the Gaston Mansion. It sat at the very corner of St. Joseph and Swiss Avenue. That became our second home. It was a dilapidated building. The termites were holding hands for us. It became our home for 2 years. And we finally tore it down. And the money we received from it was only sufficient to make cement sidewalks. But that's why they're so wide out there. In 1929, the first building was erected, Stearns Hall. 2 years later, Davidson Hall. Depression came. The nation was in the throes of its own economic agony globally, and our building stopped. In 1952, our third building came, Chafer Chapel, dedicated by our president, who would die that year in August. After that, in 1963-67, came Mosher Library. And then building stopped for a while until 1972, when Todd was erected. And the same year, Campbell was erected. 1982, we added Walford, the student center. And then more recently in the 90s, under another president, we added Turpin Library. And then again, we added the Mitchell Building. And then came under Dr. Swindoll, dormitories, apartments, Swiss Tower, Washington Hall, and the latest addition to our coterie is, of course, the Horner Building of recent vintage, right? It's in those buildings that the individual passion collected corporately in our hearts was taught to generations of young men and young women. The passion that drives Dallas Seminary is the gospel. The profound and deeply motivating sense, this is what drives us, this is who we are, that mankind has a serious problem that cannot be resolved by good intentions, moral resolve, community pressure, or governmental programs and regulations. The problem is not that dysfunction is rooted in external forces, some environmental paralysis, the crushing of our ids, aborting the natural development of our egos in youth by a superego, but our moral ineptitude is a blighted and twisted set of affections. The tragedy of mankind is amnesia, not caused by blunt force applied to the cranium, but to a voluntary unwillingness to hear the voice of natural theology in the sunset, however shadowed and weak that voice may be, and certainly not of an atoning savior. The root problem for all of us is a spiritual cardiovascular issue that can only be addressed by an inward change that only God and his provisions, of his provisions as described in the Bible. We have a passion, Calvary. And we have a fundamental basis for it. There's something else. Passion, motivating and shaping our vision alone, has not resulted in the effect you see today in this happy place. It took and takes a philosophy, a structural framework that defines and refines our vision. How do we accomplish our task? What gives life and direction to our passion? The driving reality within the depth of our beings and vision, the implementation of our passion in outward action, even informing our philosophy of education, is simply the Bible. The Bible is the heart of our educational curriculum because it shapes the content, defining the perimeters of truth. For us, it has been and is and will ever be the only source of unquestioned truth. Why? Because it is the only book that not only describes a world beyond itself with pointed accuracy, it helps us to understand ourselves and describes one who came to give us hope. The Bible is unapologetically true and unquestionably sufficient, explaining life, begetting life, sustaining life until the time when what it promises about life comes to eternal fruition. We belong to a tradition that recognizes the contribution of natural theology, philosophic rationalism, and the role of experience, and the importance of the collective wisdom of those who have gone before us. However, we believe and order our lives on the assumption that the witness of Scripture stands above and beyond all other revelatory sources of knowledge. The Bible, simply put, is the only unsullied, impeccable source of our knowledge of God, which we have called theology. The Bible is a source of our knowledge of God. The Bible and its teachings, what we call theology, describes the supernatural wonder of human redemption that inspires what we do here. We study this great book. We submit to this great book because the God of the book has allowed us into his world, a world of unmitigated truth and love. The Bible is placed in our symbols of our institution. Preach the word, touching lives with Scripture. Teach truth, love well. Not merely to indicate a continuity with the past, but to declare that we find the Bible and its historically interpreted message, the so-called old story, to be as relevant to our generation as when the promise of life was promised to Abraham and his children 4,000 years ago. We want to be Bible-centered people, not because we are fearful of uncertainties of our present world, needing what Marx said was the dulling, intoxicating drug called religion to hide our cowardice, but because we believe that human nature became so blighted as when our first parents were expulsed from God's presence, that this great book is all we need to resolve the problem of hell, death, sin, and divine wrath. The story of the seminary is also that of a hearty band of men and women, board members who direct the school's future, guarding its integrity, an administrative staff, including its five presidents, that have given and give themselves unselfishly to the endeavor. We are committed. We should be committed, but we also committed. A faculty that has chosen to be here in less than ideal circumstances at times. A staff that may have proven to be more the most selfish of all. And a student body now in the thousands that have bought into the vision and carried it to the ends of the earth, as well as countless donors over the decades that believed in what we are attempting to do and gave their resources, laboring in prayer that this work might go forward. Let me show you some of these guys. This is maybe a second prominent figure, W.H. Griffith Thomas. Thomas is the man that gave us our name until 1936. The Evangelical Theological College. It was hoped that he'd be our theological professor. It was, but his untimely death seems to bring things to a conclusion. But our first library that was in that hallway down that little building was his. I can't show you all of these guys. This is William M. William McNair. You'll find in the library old books with his picture on it. He's a guy that bought the library for us, a Scottishman. If it works, no, it's working too much. You never know in this life. Set your goals low enough, you can reach them every time. It's Dr. Walvoort, our second president. 1952 to 1986. If this works, which it may not, maybe I'm not pointing at the right location, his inauguration in 1952 in the newly built Chafer Chapel that now will be replaced. Our third president was Dr. Donald Kimball. Came to us in 86 and was our president in the year 2000. Our fourth president he's going to show up here, was Dr. Swindoll. Let's see, I think I had my dates wrong. Campbell was with us till about 1992, and then Dr. Swindoll came in the 90s, and then in the year 2000, our president now, right? They have carried the vision, they've carried the passion for us. I conclude with a poem by Stuart Townsend, an English worship leader in Brighton, who has authored and co-authored several well-known contemporary songs, some sung by Keith Getty of Ireland, the one we sang together earlier. I think it is what the seminary is all about. It is our vision. Individually introduced to it, corporately extending it. It is our basis and our collective and enduring willingness to sacrifice to carry it into the world. You have entered this institution, if you have, this year for the first time. You have joined a band of people, now over 9 decades in the making, that know what we're about. We have vision. We know the basis that controls and directs our passionate vision, the Word of God. And we are willing to lay aside what others consider valuable because we have fallen in love with the Creator of the universe. Look at our signs. Dallas Theological Seminary. Look at our seal. Preach the word. Why? Preach a love story. Touching lives with scripture. All right. Preach the word. How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. That he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away as wounds which mire the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross. We do that every Sunday. My sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that left him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ. He's it. His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? Beats me. I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. We want that for men and women and boys and girls. That's why Dallas Seminary is here. That's why you were here. That's why I am here. That's why a gifted faculty is here. It's all for one purpose. Him. Him. Thank you, Father, for a few moments together. Thank you for Dallas Seminary. As we walk these halls, there are stories. As we look at these buildings, there's great sacrifice. As we look out into the world, our graduates have gone to its extremes. We want to join them. And we want to pass this great vision of ours to the students that will occupy these seats in the future. Help us to know you better by diligent attachment to the Word of God. Help us to remember it's not in learning the book, but that is the vehicle, but is in learning about you who was in the book. We commend our semester. We love you, our Father. In Jesus' name, amen.